something else. None of these things are fulfilled in and of themselves in the church. They are fulfilled in Christ, who himself, with regard to the church, is the fullness that filleth. The fullness of all things to the church is Christ. But the fulfillment of the testimony given of God is Christ himself. Now, do you understand what I'm saying here? Because it is an easy thing to do just by looking at things in a religious way or a doctrinal way. It's easy to try to look for the fulfillment in yourself. Look for the fulfillment in the believer. Look for the fulfillment corporately in the church. That's an easy thing to do, and unfortunately, it is mostly what is being done. Making the church the object of what the Scripture promises. Make the church the object of the fulfillment of all things promised and spoken and given of God. The church is certainly brought into the reality of that through our union with Christ. But to look at the church for the fulfillment of any one of the feasts of the Lord is a tragic mistake and has led to unfortunate, extremely unfortunate teaching, and teaching that has greatly confused. Because of that, we have a church world who is still looking for Christ to come. Rather than looking for the fulfillment of the Scripture in the Christ who is come and lives in the church. If he is not come, does not live in the church, then virtually the church simply does not exist. Maybe a religion exists, a Christian religion exists, whatever, but except Christ dwell in you, the believer, who are the church, except Christ is come, and except Christ who is come in you, then in fact the church doesn't exist. Now you need to think about these things. As I sit and look at a particular manual that I have, it is a good manual as far as the historical facts and events of these feasts are concerned. It's a good manual. It's a thorough manual. But it sets everything forth as historical. And as you begin to look at it, I'm going to read some to you today. And because as I read it, I can't read it without just saying in every case, oh Lord Jesus, all of this was a promise to you. All of this was about you. All of this, yes, while being a testimony to Israel, nonetheless, all of this was a promise to you. The great ingathering of the Feast of Tabernacles is the harvest of the eternal seed of God, Lord Jesus, who you are. The whole thing is a promise to you. The latter rain, the former rain, the double rain, whatever rain, is a promise unto you. Everything Joel says is a promise unto you. That is, it's a promise that can only be fulfilled in you, who are the very promised seed of God. And the harvest is nothing other, nothing less than the increase of your own self, Lord Jesus. The increase of your own self. The fruit of the vine is the increase of life. The fruit of life. It's not people. The increase is not people. The increase is in people. The increase is not places. The increase is in places. The increase is Christ Himself. And while you're thinking about that increase, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the ingathering. Because that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is called, the great ingathering. So I want us to look for a while today at the ingathering. And that has to do with the seed. It is a summing up of those seeds that were planted. The wheat, the barley. We see the harvest of those in connection with Passover and Pentecost. But that's only part of the harvest. And yet there's people today who keep trying to say, they haven't seen the fulfillment of this thing in Christ. So they're still looking for the fulfillment of it somewhere else, namely in people, or namely in the church, or maybe in the nations of the world, or who knows. The feasts themselves show that the increase comes at the end of every Jewish year, Jewish spiritual year, not their civil year, their spiritual year. That year, when it comes to its numerical fullness, is the year that ushers in the great year of Jubilee, which is fulfilled through the term in Christ. It's you and I, hon, living in Christ, being in Christ, a new creation in Christ Jesus. All of that is there. The whole picture given to God of the salvation of the Lord, that whole picture is summed up the same way. It's summed up the same way year by year by year by year. And then finally, all that is summed up in Israel year by year by year is brought to its fullness. Those times come to their fullness in Christ. And we're going to glance at that. The great ingathering, hon, is nothing other than God gathering up all things in Christ. Both which are in heaven, which are in earth, gathering up all things and bringing all things to their comprehension in Christ. Certainly. I don't know how far we'll get with this today, but this is what we're looking at. The harvest. Now, is the harvest of the land, is the harvest of the ground, or is the harvest of the seed? Is the harvest having more ground for the seed, or is the harvest having the increase of the seed in the ground? Suppose the ground be in our hearts, our soul, or corporately the body of Jesus Christ. That ground could be filled with rocks, in which case it could be rained on, it could be built on, it could be, you can do a lot of things to ground, but if you don't have a seed in it, there's going to be no increase. You can go by the farm next to you. I mean, you didn't have a lot of land, hon. I come out of a state, I was born and raised in a state where the thing people want is a lot of land, and they have a lot of land there. They have ranches there that are, you know, not several hundred acres. They have ranches there that are tens of thousands of acres. They look at the ground. But of course, even there, that ground is no good unless something's growing in it. So, my thought is, what are we looking for when we search out, when we look at, when we study the feast? What is it we're looking for? They're given as a testimony of Jesus Christ. And they are given as a completed testimony, a complete testimony of Jesus Christ, which is brought to its completeness in Jesus Christ. And in that we see Christ in those feasts, in that testimony of those feasts, we see Christ in his sacrificial testimony. We see that in all of the animals and creatures that were used as sacrifices, but also the flour that was ground up and made from the seeds. So we see a testimony of the sacrificial one. We see that. And in connection with that, we see the oil, which comes from the fruit. And we see the oil and we see the wine. All of that is gathered up in the sacrificed Son of God. Yes. And in those feasts, we see the testimony of the priesthood, the Levites, again, summed up as the firstborn, which is summed up as the true and only firstborn from among the dead, Jesus Christ. Once again, the testimony of him is there in the Levites. And then in the priesthood, yes, the priesthood representing there the ministries of the high priest,
the ministries of the high priest, because the high priest, the ministries of the high priest are enacted through the priesthood, except for the one day a year that the focus is upon the high priest more than anything else in Israel. More than anything else in Israel. And he goes behind the veil. And he comes again. And he receives to himself. And here we find, my, what a testimony of the eternal Son of God, who is our great high priest, in whom we now live, our high priest, who now appears in the presence of the Father, and we hidden in him. So hidden that our union with him is not made known except by his appearing. By his appearing. So that so much that when he appears, and the word appearing there goes to phanero and also apocalypsis, it means a thing revealed and made manifest, it's in you. And in that appearing, oh honey, now we're not talking about academic knowledge here. We're not talking about religious beliefs here. And God help us, please, Father, do help us. We're not talking about doctrinal issues here. And we're not talking about some kind of a carnal understanding or a natural knowledge of our salvation. When the scripture says, Paul says something, when he who is our life shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in together with him. Together is the real word there in the Greek. It'll appear together as those who are gathered together, those who are gathered up into. That's where that goes. Those that are hidden in him. But there's an appearing. Something that we see. Something that we know. A supernatural work of God. An appearing. You shall appear also. Or not you shall appear also, excuse me. You shall also appear together. In glory. Christ in you is the glory. I tell you, hon, sometimes I just feel like I'm running around and around and around and around and around and around the maypole. Jesus saying, in that day you will know I in my Father, you in me, I in you. My word, what a union. I mean, just to read it and realize that it's talking about a union. Finally, just coming to say, my Lord, this is talking about the union of our salvation. This is what, just to come to realize what that's talking about. And then to set our heart upon knowing beyond just knowing what it's talking about, but actually experiencing in an understanding shown of God. I can't get away from the words appear there. Hebrews 9. First, he has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are a copy, which are of that, a figure of the
that which was to come. No, he has entered into heaven itself. Every place in Paul's writings where heavenly places is used, it simply is translated heaven. Heaven. That's true. Heaven. And it's located, it's defined, it's pinpointed as being in Christ. In Christ. Where he has taken us in himself. Oh. There to appear, for him to appear in the presence of God. But where is he appearing? In us who are in him. And what happened? We behold him in his glory, and we appear together with him in his glory. No flesh shall glory in the Lord there, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But I'm trying to tell you, hon, that's not just something that we find in the sense of just finding a clearer version of the Scripture. That's not something we find in the sense of just having a better understanding of something. No, it's a whole, altogether different. Different understanding. It is as different as the new birth itself. It's not another birth. It's an altogether different birth. Only one like it because there's only one. Who fulfills it? Whether it is that we are born from the beginning of beginnings, the eternal, everlasting Son of God, are born anew through the life-giving Spirit who is the Son of God. Or whether it is being born anew by the incorruptible, not corruptible, incorruptible seed of God, by the Word of God who abideth forever. Whatever you're going to call it, honey, however you're going to approach it, new birth stands alone. There's nothing to which you can compare it. It is a work of the Spirit of God. It is not something, Nicodemus, that you can understand with your well-trained, well-developed religious mind. So much so that you are a leader among the brethren. Except for this thing of new birth, except for this thing of the Lord of resting him upon the road. I mean, there's much to be compared between with Nicodemus to the Apostle Paul. As far as their natural understanding of supernatural things. But then, our whole life in Christ is a supernatural thing. From new birth to the very increase of Christ himself. My, my, my. Well, you see, that's what these feasts are talking about. And the one we're looking at is talking about that. It's called here Feast of Fullness and Completion. Well, Paul uses those two words. And when he does, he uses them with direct reference to Christ himself. Christ himself. In one place saying, "For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him you are complete," or said as it is written, "and you are complete in him." Whichever way you want to say it, it means the same thing. The completeness is Christ. And Christ in you. So, sweetheart, I'm not telling you that, well, I am telling you that these things are not fulfilled in the church, not fulfilled in the earth. They're fulfilled in Christ. They're fulfilled in Christ who lives in the church, who is the fulfillment of the church, who is the fullness of the church, who is the glory of God in the church. It is him. It is him. And that's why it is such a shame that we have so many preachers and teachers trying to find something that hasn't happened yet. Well, in the world, there's probably a lot of things that hadn't happened yet that maybe one day will happen, but it has nothing to do with our salvation. It has nothing to do with anything heavenly, period. You understand? The church is to be a manifestation of the savor of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, wherever we're found. We are to be a witness in the world of that which is come in Christ, rather than joining with the world, looking for something to take place. We should be the taking place of it. You understand what I just said? I mean, the taking place of it, we should live accordingly. Should live accordingly. Why? Well, let's look at Ephesians. This is one of the places I wanted to just read. And before I do that, well, it's going to be Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. That may bring us pretty close to the close of our session. I got a letter yesterday, and I often read the letters from this precious brother who a long time now, I've known this brother for between 30 and 40 years. Okay? He's been a fellow minister, a fellow laborer, a precious friend and brother, and still is a tremendous blessing to me. And I want to read this letter. I used to call his letters that he would send along to me open letter to the church. But I just want to read part of this because of what I'm talking about. You'll see. This is amazing. As I looked at it last night, or come in the mail yesterday, and I thought, oh, bless your heart, hon. I hear much about a coming of the Lord from people who are looking into the sky or to a physical geographical location. Well, before he says that, he says, I am encouraged in the Lord today. I am encouraged in the Lord today. I hear much about a coming of the Lord from people who are looking into the sky or to a geographical location. Some are even looking on TV so they can see his coming live on CNN. I'm encouraged, but not by these distractions. I'm encouraged because I am also looking for his coming and his appearing. I am looking unto Jesus, but I'm also looking into the mirror and the inward. I'm looking into the faces and hearts of his people, his body, and I am seeing and hearing him. In John 14, chapter 14 through chapter 17, he said he was going to prepare himself a place for us, and he did, and that he would come again and receive us unto himself, and he does, so that we could be with him, one body, where he is. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Father, forgive me for the distractions. Forgive me for not seeing your truth, and often for not seeing your truth, and often making it more about true things than the truth himself. The truth himself, who is the gospel, the door, and everything behind it, who is the Father's house, the revelation revealed, the city, the tree of life, the river of life, the street of gold, the temple, the seed, the vine, the root, the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life, the glorified Son of the living God. And he goes on, you, sir, speaking to the Lord, you, sir, are the absolute King of all kings and Lord of all lords. You are my salvation, because if you have not come, I have no salvation and no life. Therefore, I rejoice in you. I thank you for coming. And, oh, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. Fill the earth with your glory, your presence, life, character, healing. And may you truly have the preeminence in all things, but first of all in me. Forgive me for being more concerned about man's opinions than your opinion and your eternal purpose and truth, which is always your Son, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Well, well, well.
And I'm sitting here talking about all fullness. Dwelling in the one who by the grace of God and richness of our salvation dwells in us. Now, Ephesians. Because, see, all of this is coming together in the Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah, it is. It is. It may take us a while to look at all of it, but it's all there. It's all there. It's too sad. It is too horribly sad that the Jews to whom these testimonies were first given have not, as a whole, received them. But the thing to me that is sadder than that is how the church world has missed it. Has just missed it. They believe it is a thing that has not yet happened, like we were talking about of events instead of the person. The person who is come, now come, and is in you. And the glory of that is that you are in Him. Well, chapter 1, verse 9, Ephesians 1, having made known unto us the mysteries. This was something that at the time of Paul, God had already done. Made known what He conceived before the foundation of the world, what He chose before the foundation of the world. But at the time of Paul, and Paul says by revelation, He had made known. Made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. This is a word that I'm looking at right now in connection with our union with Christ, with one another in Christ. How we abuse that, the word purpose. None of this is without purpose. None of it is without purpose, eternal purpose, hidden as in a mystery, but revealed as in the face of the Son of God. Oh, the work of the Spirit. I have to join with my brother in this letter and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for Thou art come. Hun, is this reality filling your heart? Is this reality filling your soul? Or are we still playing the religious games of eschatology based upon futurism, dispensationalism? Are we finding the whole of, the good of our salvation in the indwelling person of the Son of God? Because that's what this testimony is about. According to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that, here it is, that And he had determined this from before the foundation of the world, like everything else in this first chapter. But it, at the time of the writing of this first chapter, it was already fulfilled. What was determined in Christ was now fulfilled in Christ. And the thing wherein we were chosen was the place and the person wherein the believer was now dwelling. This is the letter written by Paul to the church concerning what God hath done, what God hath purposed, what God hath planned, what God hath willed, God hath done. Now I pray that we all, with all saints, would come to comprehend that as to its length and its depth and its breadth and its height. Yeah, that's in this letter. That's in this letter. But what is it? It's this great ingathering. Honey, it's this great ingathering of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's this great ingathering. That in the dispensation, that is the administration of the fullness of time. See, those times were complete in and of themselves every year. I mean, they had the same times, the same days, the same every year. And then they had the seventh of the, the Sabbath count of it, the Sabbath week and the Sabbath year, every seventh year, and then finally every 50th year, the 49th year on the morrow after that, the Jubilee. All of these were times appointed of God, and they had them over and over and over and over. They came to their fullness in Christ. That was the hidden wisdom of God when he gave them. That was the thing God determined to do. Gather it all up and show it to be. Yeah. Show it to be finished. Show it to be all of that. But show it to be Christ himself. Show it to be him. Not just show it to be done. Show it to be him. Who is in you? Who is in you? The fullness of times. That he might gather together in one. We've already looked at that in some verses. Wow. Yeah, Colossians 3, verse 4. And he who is our life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him, which in the original is together in glory. That he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And then it just keeps on going. My, my. The great gathering together. See, people to this day try to make that referring to a bunch of people rather than the gathering together of all things in one person, one son. As to his body, one head. As to his kingdom, one king, Lord God over all, and yet in all who are born of his very spirit. The great ingathering. You have to understand, darling, that you can't see that in people. I mean, not even in what is the so-called mega churches. God bless them. They just go and come. I trust that there are those there, found there, that are truly in Christ and are not, and are still looking. But you're not going to find it in people. Oh, you find Christ in people. I'm not telling you that if we're in Him, but hon, you're not going to find these fulfillments. Because that's what carnal-minded theologians are looking for. They're looking for it to be a bunch of nations, a bunch of people, and all of this kind of stuff. That's what the great ingathering is all about of the Feast of Tabernacles, and it isn't. And if you just read, in the Scripture where these feasts are being laid down, and you'll see that. You'll see that. Because that, honey, that day was fulfilled as to a day, as to a testimony. It wasn't left dangling, it was fulfilled. And yet it wasn't fulfilled outside of Israel. I mean, it wasn't fulfilled in China or India. It's fulfilled in Christ, hon. And the great ingathering is the one of which many, so many, are so ignorant. How that He hath gathered together. And there is a word in the Greek that is bound up with this being gathered together in one. And it has to do with being gathered together, comprehended in one, gathered together in the comprehension of one. God sees all things as one. God comprehends all things in His Son. And while He gathers together all things, He doesn't end up with a bag of things. He ends up with the comprehending that all of these things are Christ Himself. He being the substance of which they were speaking is now the substance that is come. Oh, Father, I have to say it. Reveal Thy Son. Glorify Him in those who are with Him. To those who are in Him. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes, Spirit of the living God. Let these times together be a little more than Bible studies, but Bible studies many times bring these kind of times together. Let it be a time of gathering together in the presence of the one in whom God hath gathered all things. Hallelujah. Folks, we just thank You so much for being with us. Thank You so much. And thank You
Thank you, who have heard the Lord or sensed the dealing of the Lord with regard to the outreach of this gospel. Thank you who are helping us with that. Those of you who are supporting this outreach. And that's our purpose in these facilities and in this place, that out from this place, the word would go forth in spirit, in truth, in word, and in deed. And we just thank you for helping us in that outreach. We trust that it will continue. We trust that it will increase. And we have plans on increasing our teaching sessions. If we can finally, and then pray with us about this, we really need to get beyond some electrical problems we're having in these facilities. And we've had the electrical company out twice now. And we have burned out several surge protectors. It has added a great degree of difficulty for us to get these sessions on the internet and start them on their journey around the world. So pray with us about this, that we can find the right people to find the cause of the problem that we are having here. It started during an electrical storm 2 or 3 months ago, and we have repaired everything we know to get repaired, and we have bought new equipment as a result of this problem that we've had, these electrical surges. And that's not the thing that we're, you know, concerned about. But we haven't found the cause yet, and we keep having these problems. And our purpose is to expand this outreach. And we want to do that, and we are determined to do that, so that we'll have more teaching sessions available, live ones, just like this one right here, available. Maybe in a conference, Bible conference type format. But we're determined to do that. We have the ways through the internet to do that, and we'd just like for there not to be a lot of empty time on our channels. So pray with us about it. And thank you for your letters, thank you for your questions, thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your encouragement. The Lord bless. Amen.